Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I speak with Dr. Thomas Haberman, a professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic, about advances in the diffuse large B-cell lymphoma landscape and where the field is heading. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Haberman. So in your time as a hematology specialist, what important updates in early-stage diffuse large B-cell lymphoma have you observed?
There's been a rather interesting evolution over time where we've moved away from radiation therapy up front, and the rituximab era has changed things. But what's also changed things is a strategy of PET-adapted therapeutic approaches nationally and internationally. Now, the current landscape is interesting. Since the development of the rituximab with CHOP chemotherapy has come along, there really have been about 25 trials trying to improve upon R-CHOP times six cycles. And essentially, we really have not gained ground over time. In this particular area, what we've done is been able to move to less therapy. And so there are less short-term toxicities and potentially long-term toxicities with extremely favorable outcomes.
As you know, R-CHOP is sometimes thought of today as kind of an outdated regimen, and there's been a ton of literature of late that talks about options beyond R-CHOP. What are your thoughts on this regimen?
The interesting part of R-CHOP immunochemotherapy is if one looks at the current NCCN guidelines, it's still not outdated. We're really looking for other newer, better therapeutic interventions that then improve outcomes and overall survival. I had the privilege back in the 90s of chairing the North American trial, which then led to the regulatory approval of R-CHOP. There were two other trials, one in France by Bertrand Coffier and the other by Dr. Michael Feuchtu in Germany. And that changed the international landscape. But we know that we're getting better with interventions that we can implement with relapse, but in the upfront management, we still are not there in randomized clinical trials to prove that we've beaten the standard of care at this point in time.
So what do you think the future role of targeted therapies and immunotherapies will be in the diffuse large B-cell lymphoma landscape?
Oh, I think it's definitely the future. The more biologic approach is rituximab was the first monoclonal antibody. And then the other interventions that have come along to look at and address the microenvironment, such as in CAR T therapeutic interventions or the bispecific antibodies, I think have great potential to change things. But we need to analyze and get data on the upfront approaches with newly diagnosed patients.
Looking ahead, what will the future of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma treatment look like in terms of novel treatment approaches?
My short answer to you is I have no idea, but I think it's going to be very exciting. I think the genomic landscape to date has not brought us to the level we had all hoped over the last 5 to 10 years, but things are moving and we're developing concepts of trials to utilize that approach. There are now companies that have developed approaches and assays and machines that we can get genomic information back soon. We reported a few years ago that one of the issues in randomized trials was that if there was a delay in the diagnosis to treatment of 28 days or greater in that range, that then those patients had a more favorable outcome, and it was because they had less aggressive disease, at least by standards that we understand, such as the International Prognostic Index and a couple of other indications. So we've learned a lot of stuff. The world of lymphoma in the genomic era, by 2018, there were three major publications that were very elegantly done that have laid out a landscape for potential exploration and then an implementation. And those have been built upon since. There continues to be an incredible amount of information that's come forward and will continue to come forward. And I think that's what's really going to help ultimately change the landscape 10 years from now. So when I'm asked about any lymphoma right now, where do you think things will be in 10 years from patients, I literally use the sentence, I don't know. But I've never been so optimistic and hopeful about the way things are moving forward, and the pace of change is extraordinarily right now.
Thank you. And lastly, Dr. Haberman, what unmet medical need do you think will be most important to fill with some of these upcoming therapies for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma?
In diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, the unmet need is we need to cure 100%. And until we get there, we can't be satisfied. If you take R-CHOP alone in advanced disease, beyond the limited stage, we know up front, if you take all comers, we can cure about 65% of patients. If you took other tumors and looked at it, well, that's pretty good, but that really isn't good enough. If you take the data that we presented on limited stage disease, we still have issues. Was an abstract that came out at the Lugano meeting and on early PET response adapted treatment with localized disease. And there were over 300 patients in each of the arms, and they had even some higher risk patients with larger masses than I described. And their outcomes were a three-year progression-free survivals of 89% and 92%. They also reported that there was about a 10% relapse rate longer term. So we've come a long way in this disease, in both limited stage disease and advanced disease, but in limited stage disease, a long way. And we have we've decreased the toxicity and exposures and decreased the risk of developing secondary malignancies, with less chemotherapy potentially, but we've also decreased the risk of secondary malignancies as a result of radiation therapy. Now, radiation therapy approaches have been also changing with proton beam and other approaches. And so it'll be very fascinating to see the whole evolution where things are going to end up.